Yeah. So how are you guys feeling about the launch? Well, I could ask that on the podcast.
Okay.
Okay. So I know it's so exciting. It is. And I'm thrilled to be on the cover with you guys.
Yay! Oh my gosh. You noticed.
My FOMO has been tampered down by getting to be with you two. So that's
we're so happy to.
Hey, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Hey, Sherry, can you believe that it's been 3 years since we taped our first episode? Exactly, right?
Yeah, without a single clue what we were doing. We were the worst. Oh, my goodness.
Well, back then we were trying to fake it. And now we've given it up even trying to fake it, right?
So true. Well, and to celebrate the third birthday of Grit and Grace, we are delighted to welcome back our very first guest, Kathy Lipp, this time as our guest host.
Woohoo!
Yay! I'm so thrilled, you guys. And I'm so impressed you actually know when this whole thing started. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you when my podcast started. But I love that you guys have just enough analytical in you that you actually know dates and things. And did any of us know what we were doing 3 years ago in podcasting?
Well, we're pretty sure that you taught us how to do it. So, well,
you know. Said you didn't know, you didn't have a clue. So that gives an indication.
Uh-oh.
I think my own words have just been twisted.
But, you know, I think we were all just trying to figure it out, and you guys have figured it out beautifully. And so on behalf of all the other listeners to Grit and Grace, thank you for sticking with it. Thank you for talking about hard things. Thank you for being friends. And I'm very excited because, yeah, I do, you know, sometimes suffer a little FOMO, the fear of missing out, when you two are hanging out together all the time. I'm like, yeah, that used to be my gig with Sherry, but now you guys have each other and I'm not bitter at all, but I get to be the host today of Grit and Grace. Okay, so I'm just going to dive in because we have Grit and Grace listeners who wanted to find out some of the inside scoop. And we are doing multiple things to celebrate here. It's your third anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And did we just write a book?
Right. We wrote a book with the most beautiful foreword ever written by Kathy Lipp.
You guys made it super easy. So, okay, because you guys can do this better than I can. So the title is Exhale. Give us, I should know the subtitle by now because I know what you guys talk about, but give us the subtitle. And I want to know why that subtitle, why Grit and Grace is all about that. That's what I want, is the inside scoop.
So the subtitle is Lose Who You're Not, Love Who You Are, Live Your One Life Well.
Which is just so stunningly beautiful. The way it came about is I went to Sherry. I had had this idea for a book, but I had sworn I was never going to write a book again. So I had a problem.
That's a problem.
Yes. But I started realizing that if I wrote the book with Sherry, that actually sounded like fun to me. So I went to Sherry, asked her if she'd be willing to think about it, and then explain my idea, which is I wanted to encourage women to stop spending their life on just the next thing in front of them without thinking much about it and start really intentionally investing their life. Well, Sherry said, Amy, that's a great idea, but we have a big problem because we are reforming perfectionists and people pleasers. We talk to reforming perfectionists and people pleasers. And if you tell them to do that, they're going to really try. They're going to put it on their to-do list and they're really, really going to try and they're going to fail again. She said, what I think we need to do is to take them through a process to get to that point. It's almost like they need to lose who they're not, love who they are, and live their one life well. I'm like, Sherry Gregory, did that just fall out of your mouth? And what did you tell me, Sherry? It had not just fallen out of your mouth.
That was actually the subtitle of the book proposal that was rejected 3 years ago when we started the podcast in the first place.
Right.
And you two, what I think the reason God, you know, put us together in the different collaborations is both of you are motivational speakers. And what I've learned over the years is you motivators, you want to get straight to the action. Like, here's what you need to do. Just here, if you would just do my bullet points, your life would be so much better. And the truth is, you're right. Okay. Like, how many times, Kathy, have I called you or texted you to say you were right again. Like, I should just always know Kathy is right. Like, just listen to Kathy and do what she says.
If only we could convince the rest of the world. Like,
especially Roger Lip.
Yeah, exactly.
But for some of us that are just a little bit more stuck, we've got to get our thinking in line and we've got to get our hearts in line in order for the action we take to be long lasting. Like, we can fake it and we can pretend to behave better and do those bullet points, but then we end up falling back into the old ways. And so for that change to be long-term growth, character growth, and really long-term change, yeah, that process is important.
Well, and it's interesting that you talk about that, because one of the questions that people were asking is about imposter syndrome. And I would have to imagine for the non-motivators out there, they want to look like they're getting all the check marks. So they're the, I'm going to fake it till I make it. And if I just do all the things, I'll push forward on growth and my heart will catch up at some point. And, you know, somebody is asking about this specifically in the arena of writing. And I totally get that, because even though I'm a motivator, I felt like an imposter for so long because I'm the girl who actually got an F in freshman English. I am
foolish teacher.
Having mononucleosis may have had something to do with it, but I'm not really sure. You know, there was just this thing of, well, you could try to be a writer, but you never actually will be. And so I think imposter syndrome happens for all of us, but for different reasons. So I want to hear, I know you both have imposter moments, and how did you not push through them, but how did you lose what you thought you were imposing on and become who you are?
Well, I think it's so interesting what you just said is you thought you couldn't possibly be a writer because you are an F student. And so Sherry has this amazing chapter in Exhale about the labels that we wear. And sometimes those labels are imposed by other people, but a lot of times they really just come from our internal sense of being or a failure, like what you experienced in high school English, something along the way that determines in our head what our label is. And for me, it's really interesting because in social situations, a lot of times I feel like an imposter. If I walk into a room of friends, like with you and Sherry, I'm good. But right. If I walk into a room of total strangers, I start to default to those old labels. You're a nerd. You don't belong here. You're an outsider. Those kinds of scripts that go on in my head. And I still have to lose those old labels before I can live my one life well. Because if I operate in that way of thinking all the time, I will never be able to step into who God created me to be. Mm-hmm. Sherry, what about you?
You know, for me, the thing that has really broken down imposter syndrome is discovering that every single woman I admire suffers from imposter syndrome. It's not just me. It's not just like two or three people, but like every single person that I've looked up to and thought, oh, well, she can't possibly. I'm finally at that point where I think I can look at anybody in a room and go, I'll bet you she does too. Not to cut her down to size, but just to realize we're all in the same boat here. And then also to realize there's nobody out there. There's no big authority who's actually judging who is in and who is out. I mean, there is no grand Pumbaa who's handing out the green pass or the red go to jail, do not pass, go. It is all inside our heads. And that is so hard to realize. We believe that it has to be true. And yet it's only in our own head.
Well, and don't we, you know, at least for me, what I always thought is like, there's one big giant audience out there. Somebody is already doing minimalism. Somebody's already doing fear. Mm-hmm. So there's no place for me. Because, you know, somebody is already doing that. And to get to the point of realizing that different people need different voices.
Yes.
I need different voices than Sherry does. And I need different voices than what Amy has experienced. And so to understand that there are an infinite number of combinations and that God can use all those different voices, whether it's through podcasts or written word or blogging or speaking or whatever it is, to have influence on our lives, it doesn't mean that we get an A through F grade. And then also to understand, for me, this has been huge, is to see that people I admire get more criticism than I do. Oh. And it's not because they're doing a worse job. It's because they're more out there. And I think sometimes God opens doors and closes doors according to our sensitivities and our heart. And I think about all my HSP friends who, you know, and I call myself a pocket HSP. There are certain areas. And when somebody is very critical of either me or somebody I love, it's very tough for me to take. It takes me a long time to recover from that. And it's what I finally understood. It's giving to other people too much power, and I'm recovering from that. But to know that sometimes I believe God closes doors because I could walk through them, but I couldn't stay on the other side.
That's so good.
Well, I'm processing what you said too, in light of not just writing, but friendships and how there are different people that we need in our lives. And Sherry and I have talked about on that on the podcast, or in our professional world, that people on a team bring different things to the professional world, or even in your neighborhood. Maybe your gifting blesses your neighbors in ways somebody else's gifting isn't needed at that time. So really, that idea, I love it, Kathy, because it expands to every area of life.
Well, and it gives an opportunity for some of those smaller, more intimate voices that we need to hear, but maybe aren't ready for everybody right now while they're still developing and crafting their message. I was just thinking about this today. There are blog posts I should go take down. I think I need to do some curating and being intentional. Okay, so this is another great question, not so much writer focus, but just community focus. And somebody asked, how do you recover from feeling like an outsider at church, or even being rejected in a church setting, but not turn from church forever? And I have to tell you guys, this Sunday, it was our church's 169th anniversary.
Wow.
Church is older than California. It's kind of amazing. And so they put out tables for everybody to sit at. And my husband's the tech director. And I'm like, can I come sit with you? And he's like, what? And I'm like, oh, just going up to a table full of people. And he's like, I can't even believe I'm hearing this. And so it comes time for us to eat lunch, and he's no longer tech directing. He goes, let's go sit with somebody. And I'm like, I don't know why. It's, why is church, why do we feel like such an outsider at church? Even if we haven't gone through a big rejection, what is it, do you think, that makes us feel like we can be on the outside, even though, you know, even if we've gone for years and years? What is it about the church setting?
I think so much of it is we have such high expectations about what the church should be. And, you know, we can forgive. Well, I can forgive myself, because I know that, if I go to church and I'm tired, or I'm having a bad day, or when my kids were little, if I'd been up all night with them, something like that. Well, I knew why I wasn't making eye contact. I knew why I wasn't calling out to someone like you, Kathy, and saying, hey, come sit with me. But it's so easy for me to forget that everybody else there is probably in that same boat because of those high expectations of others. I end up disappointed, whereas at least over the years, I've probably had lower expectations for myself than I probably could have. And I'm not saying that to beat myself up, but I'm thinking, yeah, if I had slightly higher expectations of myself and a little bit lower expectations of other people, it would be a lot healthier for all of us.
That's good. Well, and you two are kind of speaking from normal church situations. So let's just make the statement. There are no perfect churches, of course, but there are lots of good churches out there. But the woman who wrote the question sounded like she had had a deeper hurt in maybe a not so good church. And I've had that experience. So when I was in college, I was in a church that, looking back, I was even listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago. They were defining cults. And I could probably, of the 10 things, 8 of them would have applied to the church that I was in. So what happened to me is we had this kind of mandate. We were all college students, pretty much all young people, which is a recipe for disaster in a church, let me just say. So we're all college
students. Who needs wisdom?
know, those old people, whatever. So now I'm one of them, right?
Yep.
So we had this mandate that we were not to date, and I won't go into all the details about it, but I was in love with a young man, and we kind of broke the rules. Big shocker, right? I always say I'm a rebel rule follower. I follow the rules until I think they're stupid. Well, I started thinking the rules were stupid because I was kind of smitten with this guy. So, but I honestly was treated like a pariah from that moment on. I mean, you would have thought I had a red letter on me. And it was extremely painful. It was devastating. It took years to recover from. So if you're in that boat where you've had a significant hurt in a church and you really were made to feel like you didn't belong, because in cultish situations, that's part of the deal is that's how you get reeled in, is they use belonging as a weapon.
Yeah.
And then when you don't belong anymore, then you're the pariah. It's really tough. But so along that time, I remember, well, this was actually later. We had been through another hard church situation. It was after I had married Barry, the true love of my life. Hooray. But I remember sitting, I was praying one day and I was talking to God and I said, God, you know, I love you, but the church, not so much. And so could we just be okay and me not do church anymore? And I seriously asked that question.
Right.
And I really felt like the Lord whispered to me, Amy, would it be okay with you if one of your friends says, you know, I really like you, but Barry, not so much. And I was like, well, no, we probably couldn't be friends in that circumstance. And he said, well, the church is my bride.
Right. Mm.
So yeah. I just want to say here, if church is hard and it's messy and there are no perfect churches, but there are lots of good churches. So if you've been hurt, don't give up. Go and find one.
And I think to find somebody who is healthy in a church and say, I'm just going to latch on to you for a while. Can I be safe with you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there may be times when you need to say, this isn't working for me, or I don't understand this. But there are safe people everywhere who love Christ and who are trying to bridge that gap between the walking wounded who have been wounded by people in the church. Because it's usually not the church. It is the people in the church, or maybe it's that church body that has been broken, but it's not usually the church. I love this next question because we've all had our 15-year-old moments where we've said, okay, in order to be accepted into community, we need to act, we need to dress, we need to think, we need to believe like everybody else. But this person is asking, you know, how can you tie into a community and find yourself, you know, your own confidence in yourself to be yourself at the same time? Is that even possible?
Well, I think if you have a shaky confidence, it's always helpful to find a community of people who are a lot like you, and to build into that and allow that place to be a place of healing and of growing confidence. But then don't stop there. I think that's what happens to too many communities, is they're a closed circle. And I always try to envision a circle that's not a closed circle, but that I'm holding someone's hand with my left hand, but with my right hand, my hand is open. So it's an open circle. So we're always stretching to bring other people into our circle. And more, God is challenging me personally to stretch to bring people into my circle that aren't like me at all. And I'm telling you, it's increasing the richness of my life. But I had to get to a certain place of confidence to be able to even do that.
Okay, so the confidence is coming from being with people who are giving you strength, but then being enough to reach out to people that aren't necessarily who don't look like you, who don't act like you, who don't think like you. And so, you know, Amy, you and I recently had a conversation about how this can be kind of scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because a closed circle is much more comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I had the realization as I wade into these racial reconciliation waters, as a white woman, I don't have to do this. Like, I have the luxury I do have to because it's what God's calling me to. But what I'm saying is
they have said something to you that, you know, you need to follow. But otherwise, it's totally up to you.
Yeah. Optional besides that, you know. Yeah. But technically, besides being obedient to God, I could walk away from it. It's a luxury for me. Mm-hmm. Not for everybody in our world with right. different color skin, but it's a luxury for me. And yet that comfort zone is not enough for me anymore. There is something about the risk of following Jesus that is beyond compare. There's just nothing like it. And that's really the whole message of Exhale, is live your one life well. Live the life beyond compare that Jesus has for you.
Right. And it's not about comfort. I understand wanting to have safety, and I mean that in a very literal way, but safety is different than comfort. We have to do things that push us outside of our boundaries, get us uncomfortable, so that what we've experienced, we can offer to others. Okay, so here, okay, I need to know if you guys are living out your book. So here's my question. How have you... recently, I'm talking in like the last 2 months. I want to know like recent things. How have you lost who you're not, loved who you are, and lived your one life well? Let's do how you've lost who you're not. Let's do that first.
All right. Sherry, you go first.
I'll go first on this one because I had a book proposal soundly rejected a week and a half ago. And, you know, the email showed up and I started to flood and I started to feel the pressure on my chest and I started to think I should just quit everything I'm doing. And I remembered, you know what? I don't actually have time for this. I have a book I'm launching. I have too many other things going on.
Because I'm writing 3 other books.
You know, I'm like, I do not have time to have a meltdown on this. I'm like, I'm going to give myself 5 good minutes. And then if I need to come back and revisit this tomorrow, I will. But I am not a person who melts down at failure anymore.
Awesome.
Okay, so why the tears, Sherry?
Because I used to be. I used to be the kind of person who lost weeks and months reliving it. And yeah, it stung and it's still going to sting. But here's the other thing is I know that that rejection, quote unquote, rejection was protection. And to realize, you know what? I don't have time. Ergo, I'm not going to do it. Was not a place I used to be at. I didn't used to feel like I had the choice. I didn't have the skills to not melt down. And the other thing is I reached out. I reached out to you and I reached out to Amy. And then you guys checked in with me the next day and helped me process it.
You also checked in with yourself because you have had another book rejected, as we all have, and you in the rear view mirror of your career and your life, you saw, oh, thank God I didn't get that book proposal through. And that only comes with trying and failing to be able to say, and you know, it's failing to the world, but it's walking God's path that is rocky and weird and takes you places you don't necessarily want to go. But you were able to see in retrospect on that one. And so that gives you wisdom for this time to say, yes, this is God's protection. Okay, Amy.
Well, so my new not is you are not always called to leadership. I don't know where I got this idea in my head along the way. I do think God has given me some leadership giftings, and I have sort of, you know, I talk a lot, and so I can take over a room in a second. And so, but I do think God has given me those giftings. But for whatever reason, in this season of my life, I feel like not that he's taken them, but that he's put them on a back burner. Mm-hmm. And I was still trying to force that in several areas of my life. And I was experiencing abject misery. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I realized, in fact, I had a faithful friend who told me, I think you would be a lot happier if you would just step back. I was like, wow.
That's a good friend.
But you know what? She was right. And I did it in one area, and now I've done it in a second area. And guess what? Oh my gosh, my life is so much happier. So it's interesting that this who we are not sometimes is seasonal in our lives. And so for right now, I am not a leader, and I'm totally fine with it.
Oh, wow. That it is a huge adjustment, I'm sure.
It's weird because I think it has shown me that I had some wonky thinking about leaders, like leaders are more important. So I feel like, not that I thought I was more important, but I thought I was doing something more important when I was a leader. So now that I'm not leading, I feel a little bit like, wow, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? But I just am like, I'm doing what Jesus is telling me to do. So it's all good.
I love that. Okay. Now, speaking of love, love who you are. How are you loving who you are?
Well, I am slowly learning to love the fact that I am someone who needs rest.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Yes. Yes. We celebrate this word, and I'm just slowly leaning into it. Rest is my word for the year. And, mm-hmm. you know, after all the years of accolades for getting so much done, blah, 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 blah. But I am someone who doesn't just need rest, but when I actually do take the time to do it, I am someone who enjoys it. Mm-hmm. But I need the time of transition, and I need to be intentional about it. And, you know, Kathy, we've talked about this kind of stuff before, pre-deciding. I am someone who has to pre-decide and then stick to it. Otherwise, I end up with decision fatigue like crazy. Right. Oh, renegotiating everything. And it's like, no, I am someone who needs to pre-decide, make that decision, especially in the area of rest. And then I need to do it. And when I do, there's just benefits to everybody. I see that look on your face, Amy.
I love it. No, I'm really moved by it because I know how hard it has been for you to embrace that word.
I am someone who needs to be non-productive sometimes. There, I said it. Okay, move on to Amy now.
I am learning to love that I'm a wordy girl. So, you know, for every strength, there's a downside. We know that. But I've been a woman who has over-focused on the downsides of my strength. So it's weird, but I've had shame about some of my strengths. And one of my strengths that I've had shame about is how wordy I am. Well, okay, so God's been teaching me a lot over the years about how to moderate that and how to not dominate conversations. Don't say anything, Sherry. And how not to, you know, those kinds of things. So those are all good things. But now I feel like he's saying, but Amy, there's no reason to have shame over the fact that I made you a wordy girl. Like, you are made to use your words for my glory. And I'm starting to love that.
I love that. And I love your words. And I never feel like you are oversharing, over talking, over anything. I love it.
Girl, that's Jesus in me.
Or the Holy Spirit is translating. I don't know. Okay. And how are you living your one life well, Sherry?
I have been more intentional about having fun. I can muscle past the gag reflex and make all the check marks, or I can pause and remind myself to exhale. I mean, I cannot tell you how much exhaling I've been doing this year because it's a busy year.
Right.
But choosing to say, okay, I can either be anxious about this, or I can remember that fear is simply excitement that is forgotten to breathe. Mm-hmm. And I can look for the fun. I can be silly. And, you know, remembering that I can be disappointed by part of how something went, but I can still be deeply satisfied by it and still enjoy it. And I think part of what I'm saying is I'm learning to be much more present in my one life instead of looking back to the past so much, instead of worrying about the future so much, but just really enjoying everything there is to enjoy about the present.
Yeah, that foreboding just keeps us from so much good stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost like I would rather not experience the fun than have the fun taken away from me. Mm. And so to just say, God, I trust you with the fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for however long, for however, you know, however present I need to be. Okay, Amy, how are you living your one life well?
Well, this should really bless your clutter-free heart because the thing that I didn't realize until Sherry and I talked to you on Clutter Free was really this whole idea of walking in things that we're not. It's clutter. It is clutter. And so I have really been intentionally using boundaries to declutter all the stuff I'm not, to step into who I am, that who God made me to be, and to love that person. Like, I had this realization when I was writing, I was like, it dishonors God when we don't love who we are because he created mm-hmm. us. It's not arrogance to love who we are. It's part of worship towards our creator to love who we are. And then when we've done all of that decluttering and stepping into and all that, now I'm stepping into more and more things that I am called to that I wasn't able to do before because of all the clutter. That was in the way in my schedule and my heart and all of that.
Well, and the decluttering helps us regain our space, time, energy, and money. And those things can be funneled to what we're actually supposed to be doing. And to, I mean, you know, when you reclaim time and you stop living all the roles that other people have created for you mm-hmm. or the roles you've created for yourself, and you say, no, my role is whatever it is God has called you to. And my favorite quote of all time is from St. Catherine, be who God created you to be and you'll set the world on fire. It's not about becoming more like the other person who's setting the world on fire. It's about becoming more of yourself and meeting God where you are living how he has called you to. And that's when the powerful stuff happens, and it's getting rid of the rest of it. I love it. I love it. This is amazing. Okay. So I love a good tool. I am all about a good tool. And I know that you guys have created some extra special resources for creating community around the message of Exhale. Now, first of all over the interwebs today, I'm seeing a test going on, and I have not taken the test yet.
You got to take the test. Well, Sherry, tell them.
I decided I'm a connector. So, like, I'm feeling like I'm a no test required, but we'll take the test and I'll be open to whatever the results. So tell us about the test and then tell us about the special resources.
Well, of course, you know, I couldn't write a book without having a personality quiz involved in some way, shape or form. And the whole reason we did it, though, in Exhale is because, like Amy said, so many women, we take a quiz like that. And what do we hyper focus on? We go straight to the weaknesses and we then waste time and energy trying to turn weaknesses into strengths. Now, we're not saying that we aren't responsible for the weaknesses. Please, let's not misquote here. But what we wanted to encourage people to do is really spend some time focusing on the strengths God has given us and trust that he's going to help us build a team and give us wisdom to manage those weaknesses, but to really focus on those strengths and set the world on fire, like you said. So, Amy, tell about the small group resources that you've put so much of your heart into.
Well, so for that quiz, go to exhalebook.com, and it's the personality quiz. I got to put that in there.
That's
okay,
true.
So from the very beginning, as Sherry and I began to talk about the ideas around this book, we thought one of our core beliefs between the two of us is that the most effective and permanent change happens in community. Mm. Almost always, because there's support, there's encouragement, and there's also accountability. So we, our team, wrote a group study and a leader guidebook. And those are at exhalebook.com. You can go find them there. So grab some friends and get together and do this study together. The videos will be produced and they will be out sometime early August. So be watching for those. And then Sherry, tell them what our bonus is for those who decide to do it with a group of friends.
Well, we did a retreat in Lake Geneva in April. And so anybody who orders 10 books will get an exclusive complete set of the audio recordings from the Grit and Grace Live from Lake Geneva retreat, which is all three sessions. And I just have to say, girl, on the final session on Sunday, you absolutely brought down the house. I remember you were writing some notes really quickly before you went up to speak. And as you brought that message to a close, I was in tears and I was like, oh my goodness, I'd never heard that. And that was something that God had given to you and laid on your heart just that afternoon. So it's, these recordings include session 1, 2, and 3, and then the two workshops that we gave. And we're also going to be doing an exclusive interview, kind of a director's cut for the retreat, just for those who purchase 10 books.
And you all have to hear Sherry teach on The Man Born Blind. Honestly, not a dry eye in the place. I've never heard anything like it. It was so true, and it just chill bumps all over my body.
Okay, but you're not going to cry the whole time, right? Because it's used to. There's going to be some funny, fun stuff that we can all connect over, right?
Yes. Kathy has to bring out the fun. Sherry and I love to cry.
Or weeping. I'm like, okay, let's slow our roll here, people. I want to be touched, but I also want to make sure that there's plenty of Amy and Sherry funny and all of that, too.
You know, we do serious topics with a lot of giggles. That's what we say.
Yes. Okay, so this is my thought. I see this as either an online group with a bunch of friends that I don't get to hang out with on the regular, or if you're in a MOPS group, this bonus, or if you're already doing a Bible study, or if you're in a book club. I can see all the things here, because I think it's a deep enough topic that you're going to hit those people who want something meaty, but it's also in a place where you can have that girlfriend friendship talk, where some days you just need encouragement. And I know you guys are full of that. So I love this. Well, I can't tell you how pleased I have been to be the host of Grit and Grit. I think I could do this every week. Like, I think I could just slide right in. And thank you for letting me celebrate your third birthday with you. You are adorable for 3-year-olds.
Well, thank you for coming back. You know, you are our willing victim. Participant.
I'm like, I'll do that. Yes, please sign me up. I love your audience and I love you guys.
Be sure to join us next week when we'll be talking about how to overcome the fear of change.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.